Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is that epistle reading from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You may be seated. Over the past few weeks, we've had the opportunity to hear God's word, consider more fully what it means to be God's creatures, created to live in a dependent and trusting relationship in him as our creator. God gives life and every blessing. We in turn receive all things from him. We return thanks and praise, and we seek to reflect his care as creator in the way that we love and serve the creation through the daily callings that God has given us. That's the design. It's the way things are meant to be. The design is good. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for everyone. And yet, the goodness of that design is not what we often experience in this life. On a daily basis, we see examples of people taking the good gifts of God, the gifts of family, friends, income, influence, talents, possessions, pleasure, and turning them into idols, turning these things into objects of worship and trust from which we will get true satisfaction and fulfillment in life. Individually and collectively, we have this propensity for taking our eyes off of God and not trusting him when the rubber meets the road in the midst of real life stuff. And as we live and operate out of this lack of faith, we mess up everything. We mess up our relationship with God. We mess up our relationship with others. We mess up our callings within the world. And yes, we suffer the consequences of those faithless and selfish choices. But not we alone. The people whom we love suffer. The people who depend on us suffer. Even the creation around us suffers. So what can we do to right what has been wronged, to fix what is broken? Is it a matter of behavior modification? Many of the world religions take you down this road, that what really needs to happen is that our behaviors need to turn around, and somehow in that process we can right our relationship with God and the people around us. For example, Islam gives you its five pillars. Do these things, and you'll be on the right track of submission to God. Or, instead of achievement, is it a matter of denial and detachment, seeking to remove myself from the physical realities of life and the body and the world so that I'm only focused on what is immaterial or spiritual, so to speak? This is the path, for example, that a Buddhist might take, to detach from reality, to seek to kind of lift myself beyond the day-to-day stuff to what is immaterial. But what if these aren't the options that actually work? What if upon examining my life honestly, and I look at the problem of sin and death at work in my life and in the world, I come to find that there is nothing that I can do? That my attempts against these devastating forces of sin and death are actually powerless. Denial, detachment, attempts at achievement, none of it has the power to silence a conscience that accuses us rightly. As it says, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. Well, if that's our reality, thanks be to God, today we get to hear of the second article of the Creed, and with it, the heart of the Christian faith. To a world under the curse, and to people whose lives are dominated by stress, worry, and pain, that flows from the pressure to come through, to make it happen, both in our relationship with God and with others. God himself comes to us in a very personal and intimate way to deliver good news through his words and through his very life. It is finished. Where you have come up short, Jesus has succeeded in spectacular fashion. And what he has won is yours for free. The unconditional love and acceptance of the Heavenly Father. A clean slate. The promise of a life that is stronger than even death. Restoration to life as God has always meant it to be his human creatures, trusting in him and living confidently in his daily and eternal care. All these things given to you for free as a gift because of Jesus. Paul speaks to this reality and places this reality squarely before us in Romans chapter 8. In Jesus, we are introduced to a God who is not only incredibly personal and close, but to a God who is unwavering in his commitment to save his broken people, and with them his broken world. Here again, Paul's words, starting at verse 28. Paul writes, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." From start to finish, God is the author of our salvation. He orients all things, even the bad, even the difficult and terrible and hard to endure things, for the good of those who love him and have been called. He knew you from before the creation of the world, long before you existed. And even before creation, he chose you to be his own, to be joined to his Son, to be conformed to the image of Christ, so that we might have the privilege of being called the brothers and sisters of Jesus. And then when the moment was right, he called us in the waters of baptism, or perhaps the first time you heard the gospel. Jesus spoke through those things as he spoke to his disciples of old, and he said to you and to me, "Follow me. Join me." And with that call came the gift of justification. That is the news that all has been accomplished for your forgiveness and for your life, for your salvation, by the one who called you. You've been made right with God because of Jesus. And in the end, the one who has justified you, the one who has made you right with himself through his death and his resurrection, will bring that rightness to its full degree when you stand with him in glory. What a progression, and it's all because of Jesus. And so the art of living by faith teaches us by the power of the Spirit to say, this is true. This is true, that God has made me and foreknew me and predestined me and called me and justified me and is in the process of glorifying me, that I might reflect his glory and love. It's all true. It's a message meant for me. And it hinges 100% on the person and the work of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Moreover, the art of living by faith teaches us to look to Jesus as God's ultimate revelation and final word in all things. How does God regard you? What does he think of you? How does he regard the world? He loves you. He loves the world. How do you know? We look to Jesus to his death and his resurrection, which are the ultimate affirmation of God's love for you and for the rest of the creation. He loved us so much that he dove into our reality, even into our nature, by becoming a human creature like us. St. Paul draws a straight line from the certainty of God's love for us to the person and work of Jesus. That's how we know. How do you know that God loves you? You look to Jesus. St. Paul writes a little bit later, starting in verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" How do we know that God's for us? We look to Jesus. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" God loves you. He is faithful to you. He will bring you through. How do you know? You look to Jesus. Well, if this is how God feels about us, how does he regard evil and sin? Is something natural to our lives and to the creation? Is something that's tragic but unable to be defeated? No. God hates evil. He hates sin. He hates death. And he's done what is necessary to break their power. How do we know? We look to Jesus. And we see God in the flesh at work to break the power of evil, sin, and death for good and forever. He will not sit back and allow his world and us to hurtle to our destruction. No, in Jesus, God takes on the problem of sin and evil and death. He absorbs the worst that they can do, and then he empties them completely of their power to hold you, to hold him. And so the Christian faith, by definition, from beginning to end, is faith in Jesus. He's the author. He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the beginning. He's the end. Through him, all things were made. In him, all things hold together. He is the answer to sin and to death. He's the full revelation of the being and the love of God. And when all things are fulfilled, his will be the name that we will worship and celebrate forever. Now, this has profound implications for us even today. This means that when things happen that we cannot understand, when tragedies happen that defy explanation, when we cannot make sense of life or the things that are happening, faith turns where? To Jesus, to his person, to his work. Martin Luther, in his writings, often made a distinction between what he called the hidden God and the proclaimed God. He wasn't really talking about two different gods. They're one and the same. But what he was talking about is our frequent desire to try to find answers for why things happen in our lives. When we look for answers for why things are happening in places other than in Jesus Christ, what we find is the hidden God. We find ourselves lost, frustrated, and angry. For when we look elsewhere, what we encounter is the silence of God. We find a God who doesn't give us the answers that we want. We find a God who is not accountable or answerable to us. After all, he's the creator. We're the creatures. Look at Job in the Old Testament if you want an example of this. But in the flesh and blood of Jesus, in his life, and especially in his death, we encounter a God who is not silent, a God who is not hidden, a God who speaks, moreover, who speaks a word of love to us. As St. Paul says in Romans 5, God demonstrates his love for us fully in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when life leaves us with unanswered questions and with a lack of explanations, you can feel free to say, "I don't know. I don't know why this happened. And I don't know what it means. But I do know this. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I am His. I'm secure. And in the end, it will be revealed that I overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved me, through Jesus Christ. And so as God's creatures, as His people, we are made to fear, love, and trust in Him. In Jesus, God has revealed Himself to be awesome, to be full of love, and to be utterly faithful in His care and provision, His promises to us. So live by faith in Jesus. Know God as He really is, a God who has graciously chosen to be now and forever for us. For you. Amen.